talk a little bit of in our book. It's actually called Sleights of Mind, not Sleight of Hand. It's sleights, plural, of mind. We talk about how magicians manipulate our attention and awareness by basically taking control and hacking our brains. And the way they do this is that our brains are already hardwired to use attention, the cognitive process, to enhance certain things in the world while suppressing others. And magicians have realized this far earlier than scientists ever did, and have used it so that they could manipulate what you're paying attention to and suppress everything else, like what they're doing with their other hand. And large stage illusions like the Criss Angel show are exactly the same thing, but on a grander scale.
Have all the great magicians, back to Harry Houdini and all of them, have they practiced this?
Yes, all magicians manipulate our perception and our cognition, fundamentally our attention, but also our memory. They even implant false memories so that when you try to reconstruct what happened on stage, you cannot put it together because it's like trying to put together a puzzle with the wrong pieces. They use the illusion of choice. They have spectators make decisions that they think are completely free, even though that's not the case. So they really manipulate all of our cognitive processes. Magic is more in the mind than in the eye.
Who taught them, Susanna? How did they learn how to manipulate our brains?
Well, magic has a very long tradition. It's a form of art that is several thousands of years old. So there's been a lot of accumulated knowledge in the field, and this has been transmitted sometimes from masters to apprentices, and of course there are a lot of treatises and books on magic, as well as instructional videos, and a lot of magicians are self-taught. Others take classes, so it really varies a little bit. There's not a single way to become a magician.
Stephen, have you performed magic yourself?
Yes, as part of our training to basically learn how magic manipulates the brain, we decided we needed to learn magic ourselves in order to design experiments in the laboratory to make use of these amazing techniques to increase the rate of discovery. After all, the whole point of this project was for us to poach what magicians know, bring it back to the lab, and use it to do better experiments than what scientists could do before. So in learning magic, to make sure that we really understood it, we actually took lessons for about a year from a magician here in Phoenix. And to make sure we knew well enough, we actually auditioned at the Magic Castle, and we're happy to enter that prestigious club as professional magicians.
Well, that, you know what, and it is a very prestigious club indeed. I know Brandon Scott very well, and he's one of the great magicians there. What is it about the brain that allows it to be tricked? I mean, we're looking at this event. We're looking at whatever illusion they're doing, and our eyes see it, yet all of a sudden, in the blink of an eye, they have performed this incredible trick. How do they do it so quickly?
On stage or on TV are deceptively simple. If you actually know the technique, the manipulation that is taking place, then you immediately wonder, well, how could I not see this? It should have been so obvious. And that is because our brain only really perceives a tiny amount of what's in front of us. And not only magic shows, but in everyday life, we often look, but we don't see, and we don't see because our attention is not engaged, or is engaged in the wrong thing, or it's split among different locations, and that's something that magicians know very well. And in fact, several magic tricks are designed so that attention is split in several places.
Stephen, I'm going to ask you to violate the magician's creed, and that is to try to tell us a trick. In the Criss Angel trick, for example, the woman gets in the box. Within seconds, they open the box. She's not in it anymore. She's at the end of the theater. I saw her get in the box, didn't I?
Well, they may, I don't know exactly how they do that trick. That specific, there's multiple different methods to do that type of trick. But unfortunately, that particular type of trick is not very interesting, and if it's the method I think it is, it's not very interesting to how the brain works. And the reason for that is because it's a gimmick. So what a gimmick is it's a device or a tool that a magician will use to make it look like that magic is happening, for instance. They may have a gimmick to hide a card or to hide something else in plain sight just by tucking it away somewhere. So that kind of thing is actually, it doesn't rely on our brain processes, and it's not very interesting in terms of how the brain works. So it's not one of the things that we actually study. And these types of stage illusions, usually it's done with smoke and mirrors, to put it in simple terms.
And literally, right?
That's right, and actually literally. And so they're optical illusions. And so optical illusions are those that are done with smoke and mirrors so that the image that arrives at the eye is already illusory, whereas visual illusions are really interesting to neuroscientists because that's where the image arrives to the eye is physically one thing, but what you perceive is something else because of the way the brain processes information. And so visual and cognitive illusions are what we're really studying here as neuroscientists in magic, and we're not studying so much the gimmicks and the optical illusions.
But I would add to that that even when a magician uses a gimmick or a mechanical contraption, it's still making use of the assumptions and expectations that the audience has, because it's almost always the case that the spectators are making some false assumptions about what's going on stage, and that that would be for sure the case in stage tricks such as the Criss Angel show.
That's right.
You know, and they're how important is, though, your book is called Sleights of Mind, how important is the sleight of hand in magic, Stephen?
Well, sleight of hand is essentially manipulating objects in your hands, for instance, coins or cards, in such a way that you're also manipulating where the mind is paying attention. Now, certainly there's some dexterity that's required to do certain types of tricks.
Sure.
But for the most part, you don't need to be that dexterous. You need to be practiced in terms of how you move so that you look like you're moving in a natural way when, in fact, you're doing something completely unnatural with your hands. But that kind of thing, people would be surprised at what the training is involved in sleight of hand, that it is 99% a manipulation of people's attention and 1% actual being dexterous and moving things around in a surprising way.
Is any of this magic? Is any of it real? Are they really doing some of these things? I mean, does Criss Angel levitate, Susan?
In none of our research, we have seen the magicians actually defeat the laws of nature. It all occurs within the physical constraints of reality, but they're very good at making it appear otherwise.